everybody. Welcome in. This is the Deployment Dudes, episode 4. I am your host, Scott Hutter, with my co-host, Phil Fannin.
Hello.
How are you, Phil?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. And we got a special episode today, our very first guest, and oh boy, it's a big one.
It is.
I had to book him months in advance. He is a Chad Maddox, our CEO, also known as China Chad.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
How do you like China, Chad?
A lot of things are changing in China, so it could be a good thing. We'll see.
Yeah. Look at all these awards behind him, too.
Right.
Yeah. He's decorated, man.
Doing something right.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about today, Phil?
Chad, you being the entrepreneur that you are and the CEO of Kinetix and founder, we're seeing a lot of changes happening in the industry at how field services is handled these days. And we believe that API integration is a big component of that. And we know that you've been investing in this tremendously in our Dispatch One tool. You've been working with and talking to several other organizations that are kind of built like us. And so we're fascinated in hearing about what you're seeing and in that fashion. What and how do you feel API plays a role in today's current methods in handling field services work and where you see that going in the future?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I mean, I think over the next couple of years, we're going to see APIs being potentially a risk for us and being relevant in how we deliver services. So when we look at how things are scaled and the transparency that's required to integrate and tie these things together, API becomes a framework that forces us to connect in a way where we get common language, we understand the expectations, things are very transparent, and so as things kind of scale, in the absence of that, we're kind of going back to the traditional model, which is taking spreadsheets, swivel seating, and then we have imperfect information, you know, and challenges there that if we miss things, we miscommunicate, or, you know, how do you ingest a large project, be able to report statuses in kind of a real time or aggregate way, you know, this is going to be important for us. And it puts a lot of challenge on us as well, because it puts a burden on making the data accurate. So we have to think a lot more clearly about how we check in, how we check out, what do we define as a problem code, and getting all those definitions in place and getting adoption. So if even things like a tech app. So imagine a world where the API is integrated. A customer says, I want you to go on site. And now we can tell them that the ticket is accepted. This detect is going on site. We understand all of the criteria to deliver that work. But we can also show that they're en route. They've completed step 3 of 6, and giving in that level of transparency, real-time updates of information, because we're under, as we've talked in the past, we're under a burden of trying to drive down cost, improve quality, and without having that data synchronized, and without having that API element to this, it just becomes problematic. Now, the challenge is to compel our customer to invest the time to do that integration, and because they are used to and do get people to adapt. I mean, we'll swivel seat, we'll do whatever they tell us to do, but it creates that barrier. So I think a challenge for us is really to try to get that utility-like element of what dispatch could be and compel them to spend the time and the resources together to integrate.
What do you think? You bring up a good point that getting customers to invest or to take the leap of faith, if you will, in API integrating with a vendor or a partner. Why do you think that challenge exists today? Why is there perhaps reluctance or hesitation to want to move down that path?
That's a
million-dollar question.
It is the million-dollar question. I think part of it is just same with us. You know, these organizations have DevOps initiatives and priorities, and this would rank low on those requirements. So of all the things they need to get accomplished, do they really want to give that time to do the integration? So we have to do a lot to make our APIs well documented, show that we're, you know, like this next month, you know, about 1 or 2 weeks from now, we're going to have our SOC 2 certificate. We're doing a lot of things.
That's big.
Yeah, we're trying to do things to show that, look, we're trying to be good corporate citizens. We've invested in a Microsoft Azure platform so we can scale this. But I think that's one thing. It's like, how do I get them to spend the time to do that? And I think the other thing is really it's a tighter partnership. So when you integrate, we become a lot easier to work with. And I think in the long run, that's where we need to be, because otherwise the transition cost for to be able to communicate with someone outside of the APIs is going to be too expensive. We believe that our USPMs and our teams are critically important to our success, but the more swivel seating we do, the more this drives up our costs, and we are under cost pressure. And so I think that that level of integration and that API really helps us bring those things together, but it's problematic because maybe the vendor or our customer wants expendability with that vendor. And yeah. And I think another challenge in our business is, and this is whether it's us as a service provider or a Field Nation, Work Market, Talent Pools, people will view an event, a tech, as being representative of the entire platform. So, you know, how you behave when things don't go well, and do they feel confident they can partner with you, and you know, do they want to partner or integrate, and then they feel like, oh, we have these delivery issues. They need to see mechanisms to be able to remediate and still control that. So there's a lot there. It's a big ask.
It is. Plus, isn't it fair to say, you know, we were talking about the expense and maybe the heavy lifting that is involved from a DevOps perspective on the customer's end. We've kind of taken that into consideration in some of the things that we have done, haven't we, in terms? So setting that up to make that burden a little less burdensome?
Yeah, and I mean, this is really interesting, because in some ways, if we could productize dispatch, if we say, we're going to deliver it to you with these skill sets, this criticality, this is how we're going to deal with, you know, if we arrive late or if we don't hit our target times, you effectively productize this. And if that could be embraced, like we are the standard and we're solving 95% of what they need, then we can make it easier to integrate. We could drive down our cost. But what we're finding is opposing forces now. Like, I need techs to be a certain level of certification. I have these SLA penalties, which are really cost drivers for us. And so when we get into these unique elements, that makes the integration even more challenging, because now I have to contemplate all these different things. And imagine a world where we can say, look, I can give you my lowest cost, most scalable. Here's agreement. Here's a dispatch SOW. And now you have a global field service capability, you know, tied directly into Salesforce, ServiceNow, whatever your platform is, ready to go. And the pricing has to be compelling, but they have all these unique opposing forces. So I think there's a lot here we have to figure out how to navigate through, because field services doesn't have a standard. And then everyone else has these different little nuances. And if we want to embrace those, which we do, it gets difficult to capture it, report on it. And that creates frustrations as well, because then we get all these different scorecards and we're comparing data. And that always kind of is a little bit out of sync. I was mentioning to you earlier that Clay, you know, the gentleman that is driving our technology strategy, we were at that Microsoft Data Fabric conference, and it's really this foundation of how do you build the context, the data, so you can have an API or an AI-driven strategy. Well, the number one challenge is just syncing up data. We speak slightly different languages, and so when we look at, you know, what's amiss or what's happening here, because we don't quite have it synced up correctly, that data integrity can create gaps in reporting. So I think if we could standardize something, that would transform how people consume services.
Yeah, it's incredibly complex, critically important to our business, and you know, you being in the position that you're in, I know you've been doing a lot of traveling around and meeting up with other people or other businesses that are somewhat designed like us. And I think they don't even view us as competitors when you're opening up and kind of being transparent about how we're designed, where we feel like things are going. And they're generally pretty reciprocal in that sharing of that information, are they not?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've become very transparent, and sometimes that's viewed a little, you know, like, why are you so? But I think this starts the discussion of how do we really bring some of these things together. So I think these organizations generally struggle with the same things, right tech at the right time, you know, the cost models. The price points for what we deliver is pretty fixed, and we keep seeing all that pressure to add more and more capabilities, and so margin becomes an issue, and whether people like it or not, we have to have a margin so we're viable and can invest and scale and be there in the future. And so we're seeing a lot of our people that are trying to think about what we're doing. I would say, generally speaking, as a percentage of our revenue and things like that, we're far more aggressive in the investments. We have a full DevOps team. We have strategies around our entire tech stack. We're launching a tech app here. We're looking at different types of alliances to help us standardize that API work. And I remember, like, because I'm a longtime listener of your podcast there, but even when you look at the conversations we had with Mertech as maybe building some standards as a community, or like, oh, if I'm doing something for a restaurant, these might be standards that could be brought together. There's probably a need for something like that we can help build consistency. And then that way, when a QSR customer, for example, is asking for support, they're bidding on something that's very similar. Field services kind of lacks that. It's very
variable.
Very variable. Yeah. And again, that just makes it tough to scale. And then there's these little misses and nuances, and people view it like a utility. It has to work. And so again, the API is that common element that if we can connect to their systems, then when we're reporting, we're seeing the same data as they are, and that helps us improve that. But there has to be a common language. Yeah,
I like that idea of a work group or taking an industry and trying to develop some standards around it. We talk about API being the future, but like, how far out do you see that to where that it'll be? It seems like we're in the early adoption phase to where, you know, how long and what needs to happen to where the majority of field service consumption will be through some sort of API integration?
Yeah, I wish I knew that answer quick. You know, like from a, I guess even for us making decisions, there are some companies that have done integrations. I think dispatch, as like something breaks, go fix it, that's the low-hanging fruit. And most of the things that we see that are integrated are there. You start getting into projects, like some of the projects, well, you both are working on right now, like we're doing a rollout, we're doing, you know, there's six steps, and it gets a lot more nuanced. That is going to be a lot more, I think, sophisticated. But it's wondering whether there's this alliance or a consortium of people that can come together and help build that standard. It may have to be driven by maybe more of an industry group. I mean, that's something I still think a lot about. Again, Mertech, just as a very siloed example, they've got the audience with the different resources that could help with QSR building those standards, and that could be a great framework for us to work within. Yeah.
And then just curious too, with the integrations that we have here with our clients, what's the feedback been from the clients and our operations team on how much that's improved the delivery of the services?
Yeah, there's when we do this integration, we get feedback that our documentation is very well done. So I think Clay and his team have done a lot to have the developer toolkits and those elements to make sure that that they are comfortable how we can integrate and put those things in place. We see our response times are much more refined. And there's a benefit that we get when we integrate. We're also capturing every ticket and every email communication. So now when you're in the API, you're trying to communicate between the platforms, so there's no swivel seeing of emails. But even when there is emails, communication between us and the techs, chat messages between us and the techs or our customers, we're starting to see our customers integrate with us in Teams. So now we're capturing all that data and we're indexing it. So then our project coordinators can do an end of day report. And this has been probably one of our biggest feedback. Our end of day reports are well-written, they're consistent, and they'll have a repeatable template. And it knows who the tech was when they arrived on site, you know, were deliverables uploaded, you know, was there a miss? And so that's helping bring some of that summation. And now you can go to our system and ask it questions. What happened at this site and what's going on? And it'll literally respond back in a large language model giving you that answer. So I think that's been something people have looked at like, okay, that's powerful and that has an impact, because then they feel like they can trust you, because again, we're going to make mistakes. Techs are going to be late. There's always going to, we're dealing with human beings, and so it's how you respond and how you go through. But if you are integrated, you're transparent. And so when you integrate and you have the API, if a tech is late, If a tech isn't en route or if we miss something, it's immediately documented. So I think that builds a little bit more comfort, because a lot of times when we do have errors and we have to take, and I know we've all lived this, we're going through our smart sheets, all these different things, and we come back 2 days later and saying, hey, this is what happened, that's too long. And then that loses confidence. So I think when we've had successfully integrated, that's been the big benefit. It's like, okay, now I have a better understanding of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I mean, like you said earlier about we are incredibly transparent. We try to make sure that customers and the audiences know what it is that we're doing behind the scenes. We don't want anything to be a secret. And for me, it's sometimes a little frustrating when we have customers that just won't even embrace the idea of API integration. And the reason it's frustrating, not that that they say no or whatever or reluctant to do it, it's just when you do have a customer that sees the benefit in it, allows us to integrate, and then what happens after that? How much better, taking that swivel seat component out of the equation, them working in their ServiceNow if that's what they have, and all of the information real time that we have that we're documenting on our side that is writing straight into their ticketing system, and just the ease of use and the levels of delay of getting that information. I mean, we get incredible feedback when we have customers that are willing to do that, but trying to get that message out and letting our other customers know that have been reluctant to want to move down this path, it's sad.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely gets frustrating, but I think they're trying to find ways. I mean, we have to do a better job of maybe showing that use case. And we're doing this right now. Maybe we have to find ways for us to reduce the friction. And we're exploring different options, like using platforms like MuleSoft or Microsoft Integration Service, so that we would be able to say, we're going to reduce this time. And maybe if we can have an engagement in a way that maybe we do that investment, because there's time from us to work with them to integrate. But we've documented the API. It's all the fields are available and the objects are set there, versus there's more of work on the customer side. And I will maybe go back to an earlier question, like what some of the challenges or delays. Sometimes what we find, and it was one of your clients that was in the restaurant business, that listening to them think about and how to integrate, that whole conversation triggered other things that they wanted to transform. And so it was a productive conversation, but they're thinking, oh, when I go through a store, I have this iPad and I'm using ServiceNow. If I see a maintenance request, maybe there's some things that are more a maintenance team does and IT will do this. And they were rethinking things. So even that API conversation brings forward for them other things that now they put into their sprint that gets ahead of where we are. And maybe we need to find a mechanism to say, we're going to develop this for you. We're going to help, reduce those friction points. So if we knew the consumption was there, so it's a combination of they've worked with us, they trust us. That really helps. And then the second thing is that they've got the bandwidth to put those things in place. We have a few that we do a large volume of tickets and we've worked around it. So they won't integrate. But they do send us emails in a particular form. Yeah. So, we know it's this format, we'll scrape it and then we'll start the integration process. We get our end of day, reports, automations through that stuff. So it's a kind of a crawl, walk, run. But I think it's going to be on us to figure that out initially, because they need to see those things. And then we can communicate those success stories.
I'm thinking maybe there's an opportunity for us as we're having this conversation to maybe put to ease some misnomers out there about API integration. One of those that would come to mind, and maybe this is accurate, maybe it isn't, I don't know, is that if they do take the time to integrate, they feel stuck. Would you say that that's...
It's a possible It's a possible outcome. Typically what they could do is that they build an AP, and they should want to do this in their own strategy. Let's say they're managing a ticket. It's in Salesforce, and they make a determination that whatever has happened, I now need a third party to go on site. So they could auto assign that, and then, and maybe based on criteria, they'll send it to vendor one, two, or three, or they can make those choice. So the choice can still be within their platform. They'll control, I want to go to vendor one, vendor two, or Kinetics. So I'm not feeling it with Kinetics, or I want to go another place. Because they want to have resiliency. And so even when you're doing a great job, sometimes organizations want resiliency. And maybe talk a little bit about that in a moment. But that would still give them command and control. So, you know, One element would be, hey, every time there's a ticket, it gets to this particular criteria, send it to Kinetics. That's a fully automated event. Now, some customers have, like, you got to have this certain level of certification, you have this certain type of tool, and it's so rigid that you're going to want to send it to us anyways. But if it's something which more of general work, then they get that capability.
But at least they have the option.
They have the option. They have the option. And they're starting to control the data in their own platform, and they're getting more real time. But right now, it's okay. They can send out to other vendors and make them swivel seat, make them go through the different things, and then we go in and out of their smart sheet to put all those things together. So we want to get that transaction time really minimized, because a lot of times we're dealing with the same tech pools. Sometimes when we're doing things like it's not the dirty little secret, but I mean, a lot of times if we're using contingent labor, you're trying to bring in this diversity of people. And this is a frustration where it's like, you know, this tech is bad, therefore provider A is bad. And sometimes that could be your own show, like what goes right, what goes wrong. But that level of, I guess, remediation. I'm like, we got to show them that when something bad happens, we behave appropriately. We lean into it. We solve those things, because what they're end up doing is they're swivel seating, and a lot of times they're using the same pool of people. What is our value add? Our value add is going to have to be our project management team, the strategy in which we're listening and designing the solution. And I think it's going to be this API work as well, that transparency. So I mean, that's probably the big thing here is, we've invested substantially, I mean, like multiple millions of dollars now into this platform, because that's what we want to be able to scale into the future. And we've had these internal conversations. Are we a platform business that happens to deliver field services, or a field services organization that happens to be a platform? You know, we're really, you know, a platform business, and that's the way that we're going to be able to scale and give that type of access. We'll get to the point where they could, through their own data lake or their own Power BI or whatever the reporting infrastructure is, we'll give them direct access to the data. So not only do they log into our client portal, but they can query against our system real time. What are we doing and where we are with things? And that's transparency. And I think, to me, that's what's going to allow us to be able to scale into the future.
Of all the other folks that you meet with that are our competitors or similar industries that we're in, how do you feel we stack in terms of our investment in the tech stack that we're investing in? You already mentioned millions of dollars. It's absolutely true. How does that stack against what you're seeing out there and others? Are they making the same kind of investments? Do they believe in the same kind of platforms that are going to be required in order to make efficiencies, drive down costs, all of these different things that we believe in?
Yeah, I think a lot of these originally start off with like smart sheets. They get talent pool accounts, and they're able to, I mean, the barrier of entry for what we do is relatively low, but there are many formidable competitors that we have out there that have invested in these platforms. And kind of an advantage we have, which we're starting to grow out of, is that we were young enough that we could transform and we could build, and like, well, even in our past with contingent, you think about what it would have taken to have transformed that platform to a modern system. There's a lot of these organizations that are very large scale work that are kind of incrementally, you know, improving and trying to iterate through those things, where we were able to kind of modernize the platform from the ground up. And then over the last 12 months, there's been a lot of changes in large language models and AI that I think Clay has really been a pioneer in trying to adopt and bring those things in place. So I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe we're starting to build a kind of a unique moat around that. I think a lot of people use Salesforce and other tools and let that be the framework in which they operate. We're going deeper than that. We're going into each workflow, every element of what we do, we can make it programmable, and so that's how we're going to see our automation that's out there. I wish that was a more visible. I think when people are assessing the third party they want to work with, they may should dig deeper into what is your tech stack, what are you guys doing with? Talk to the others. How's the security set up? What do you do with your data? I mean, how many people are managing stuff? Because that will be the long term durability, and it never ends. It always has to be iterated. It always has to change. So
yeah, and those are all great points. In fact, that's poignant. We had a podcast earlier that was talking the difference between 1099 and W-2, and having the what it takes to make a 1099 model work well, because I think a lot of people have this preconceived notion that W-2 is buttoned up tight, right? They're your own employees. They've been through their own training. Therefore, they're autonomous. They can pretty much know and go on site, do what they need to do with very little oversight. Well, in a 1099 model, we don't have that. I mean, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and we kind of talked about and addressed from the human element of from start to finish, all that has to happen. But we didn't even touch on the tech stack because we kind of wanted to reserve that for this conversation now. So
yeah, and I think, again, that's where the API comes in place, because then eventually you'll build almost like a digital playbook for the tech app. Because in order for the tech to be successful as a 1099, there has to be the right budget. There has to be a clear understanding of the scope, and they have to be given the right information in a consumable way. And if all those things can happen, then you can have these really great outcomes. I think that's always been the challenge, and maybe this is a little dangerous thing to say on the podcast, but I think it's always been the challenge of like Work Market and Field Nation. People will look at those platforms, they'll get a tech, have a bad experience, and, the platform doesn't have good tech. And it's like, I mean, there's so many other variables that go into it. The platforms are fine, but it's all those elements that have to go wrapped into this that produces a good outcome. If you send someone on site and they don't have the right visibility and they don't see these things, then is that a failure on their part or our part? And so I think that if you're going to be the service provider, you got to address all those things.
Yeah. I firmly believe there is no such thing as a bad tech. It's the group that manages those technicians that it's their burden. It's their responsibility to make sure that they are well prepared, that they've been well vetted, and to sniff out whether or not they've got the skill sets required to do said job.
Yep. Yep.
And so if you have put a technician in a place where they do not succeed and it is a bad experience, then that's on you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there can be variables there that, people can have family issues, they can be late, there can be traffic, and there can be things like that can be contributory, but they've got to be well prepared.
Well, Chad, this has been a fascinating conversation. We're happy to have you join us for the first time.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on the API integration?
Yeah, I just...
Words of wisdom?
Well, I don't know if they're words of wisdom, but I really think as organizations are looking to scale their consumption of field service, I think really thinking through that API lens will be important for them as well, even in terms of like ingesting multiple providers. Maybe not look at APIs like, now you're connected with this vendor and you have no other alternatives, but it gives transparency. And that is a journey. So they'll have to really think about how their data is set up. Same thing with us. I mean, there's a lot of things we do data cleanup to be ready to do things like that. So it may not always be ready immediately, but certainly I'd say a year or two from now, it's a utility, it's going to integrate. That's how we're going to communicate and scale. There's just no room to swivel seat in when we're doing something as lean as what we kind of live ourselves in today.
Less systems to work out of, less email. Sounds like a no-brainer.
Well, you've done such a nice job. We've enjoyed having you. We may even invite you back one day.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
All right.
That was good.